On the line now, I have one of my favourite men, Fergal Somerville. Hello, Fergal.
How are you doing?
My favourite swimmer. I was trying to think of. You didn't swim. It wasn't the Atlantic. It was the. What do you call it? Over to France. What do you call it?
The English Channel. Was
the English Channel. That's what you did. Yeah. The memory's gone, Fergal. The memory's gone. There's no doubt about it. So you've been busy enough.
Busy enough. Still doing the same, much the same thing now with all the swimming there. Noel, training away and swimming away. I'm on my fifth big swim this year, and then my fifth year doing it, you know.
Okay.
So I've done the Inishman to Rossaville. That was my first big one for the lifeboats a few years ago. And then I did the English Channel, and then I did over and back in Dublin Bay. And then I did the North Channel between the North and Scotland last year. And tomorrow I hope to start off this year. Two swims this year around Inishman, the middle of the Three Aran Islands, starting tomorrow about 1 p.m. And hopefully that'll be successful. And then when I come back to Dublin after the Holliers, I might try and swim between Bailey Lighthouse in Howth and Bray.
Okay. What sort of reconnaissance do you have to do for these plans? I mean, I was only talking to Irish Water Safety earlier on, and it was talking about people just ordinarily going to the beach and doing some kind of reconnaissance and making sure and asking, is the lifeguards and what's the riptides like and all like that. So do you have to do the same kind of reconnaissance if it's a new area unknown to you?
An awful lot of planning for the likes of swims that I do. Now, this swim tomorrow has never been done before, which is to around Inishman. And similarly, I was one of the first, I think, to do the Inishman to Rossaville a couple of years ago. But what I had to do was go and talk to the lifeboats, because they have all the tide charts and they're like, they're the easiest to get to. The Coast Guard for permission, the harbour authorities for permission. And then after that, you have to scout out the relevant swim for tide movements, currents and the like. You know, because most people think of the tide that comes in and out to the beach, but in actual fact, especially in the likes of Dublin Bay, where we'd be familiar, it actually fills in around the bay. Mm-hmm. And so even the time that I swam between Dunleary and Howth, and then Howth back to Dunleary, I actually had the tide with me almost the whole of the time.
Okay.
But again, even when you're there, you're going across commercial shipping lanes and you've yachting and traffic and the like, you know. So there's an awful lot of planning in it, and you have to have a boat alongside you and a crew to keep an eye on you and everything else that's going on around you.
So you have to manipulate and coordinate. There's a lot, because underneath the surface, people just look at the top of the water, and if it's not rough at all, they go, ah, it's lovely and calm out there, but they don't know what's going underneath.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, we do all our swimming out in Malahide, out at High Rock with the Eastern Bay Swim Team, and we meet there every Sunday all year round. And we generally swim between High Rock and the Tower. But what we always do is we always check what way the tide is going initially, and we will swim against the tide first. So sometimes we go towards Low Rock, so that when you turn around, you've less than half the effort to come back, and you're coming back with the tide. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes we've seen people getting in there and they swim with the tide and they fly along, and then when they turn around, they're against the tide, it's hard to come back. And the other thing that we do, especially when we're out there as well, Noel, is always to swim alongside the land and not out to sea at all. So you're always only about 100 metres from being able to get out at the most.
And your lovely wife, she's still stuck with you through all this charity event. She's still there.
God bless her. No, I've lost her out that girl.
Okay. Remind people, was it last year or the year before? Because time is irrelevant to me now. It has no meaning at all. It goes so quickly. When you were down in there, it was a Kitty Kiernan's, and there was a lot of sports people down there. I remember I met the cycling club. Fascinating conversation with them.
That was young Sean Farrell from the triathlons.
Yeah, well, what was that about? Remind me what that was about.
That one that night was to celebrate the North Channel crossing, which I did on the 16th of June last year between Donaghadee in the north and Port Patrick over in Scotland. And we had a lot of famous swimmers there as well, and some quite famous sports people, and a lot of friends and family there just to celebrate it. And that was to finish off the fundraising which I'd done for the Irish Cancer Society last year. And then this year, you know, I'm back with the lifeboats. So I did a first swim for the lifeboats there a few years ago, and I'm back doing the fundraising for them.
Okay. And how do you decide to select now the lifeboat, the RNLI, and the guide dogs? They're my two charities. So how do you pick? You have some influence in deciding who you're going to swim for?
Well, effectively you do, I suppose, anybody like fundraising. But in each of the swims that I've done, I've always changed the charity. The first year I did it for the lifeboats on Inishmore. And then when I did the English Channel, I did that for cystic fibrosis research. There's a friend of mine, Professor Jerry McElvanny, up in Beaumont, and he's done some fantastic work on cystic fibrosis. And so I was delighted to do fundraising for him. And then the following year, when I did the Over and Back in Dublin Bay, I was fundraising for the Aisling Adolescent Addiction Centre. And last year I did it for the Irish Cancer Society. But even in picking that one, I was flicking around with a couple of ones, and my older son, who lives in Washington D.C., asked me to do it for cancer because my mother died from it a number of years ago.
Yes, yeah.
So that was how cancer was picked on that one.
Okay, and the decision on where you pick, I mean, you're picking places where no one else has swum before, which means a lot more work for you. Like, if it's been done by a few different people, like the Channel, at least you have some idea of what to expect in the water. But when you pick somewhere unknown to an extent, that makes it much more difficult for you.
It does, but it's always nice to be innovative, I suppose, in setting a swim. Like, the one I did over and back in Dublin Bay had been done once or twice before. And even by a few swimmers that I know myself. This one now tomorrow around Inishman has never been done before, so there's a lot of planning involved in it. But I also go to Inishman every year on my holidays, and it's a little piece of heaven now off Galway, and we've been going there for the last 16 years, so we know the people down there and the environment. And I expect it's about a 12-mile swim, starting from the top of the island and around the back of the island, out into the Atlantic, and then back up the other side of it. So, I expect it'll probably be more interesting than the Channel, in that you'll have some scenery to see, mostly the cliffs along the side of Inishman. And it'll take me somewhere between 5 and 6 hours, I think.
Okay, you won't be taking photographs.
I have actually a tracker on it, Noel, on my own blog spot. So the tracker will update every 10 minutes from about 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
And there'll be information on that, and you'll see exactly where I am in the water every couple of minutes, and the trail around the island.
Yeah, I do. Forget about the technology. I was looking at it, one of the most wonderful photographs I ever saw, and I kept looking at it, sort of seeing things of a surfer. And when the water had gone around, and it looked like he was, he had put the camera on the base of his surfboard, and I caught a picture of him like in a ring, like someone's a girl's hair plait. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was
yes.
Wonderful. So, have you got the facilities to do all that? You're swimming and filming all the time as well.
You said the scene. Tomorrow Swim is part of a documentary that's being made by Tina Media, which will be shown probably early next year.
Okay.
So there will be the cameraman on it, and there will be part of a documentary of six extreme sports, which will be shown next year. So there should be some good footage from it, Jim. Other than that, the crew that will be on the boat, which my son Connor and friend Mick Gartland from school days, and Michael Faherty will be there, and they'll be working our own sort of camera. So we'll have a couple of snapshots and small video of it, and I might be able to put that up on YouTube now when I come back from the Holliers.
Okay, now that's all happening tomorrow. The swim is on tomorrow. But you're doing one in September now. You can't give me too many details because it hasn't been finalised, but I'm just noticed that you were talking about the filming there. That's happening on the documentary in September. But also DCU are sending a research team to monitor you as well.
I'm working with the people in the sports and department up there, and so they're interested in seeing what keeps me going and the fuel levels in it, because these are long swims, and you have to feed every half hour. So it's part of a project that they're going to be looking at up there over the course of this winter as well. But they'll be starting on it with in September of monitoring more so than I would get on normal long-distance swim. Normally, long-distance swims, you stop every half hour, you take an energy drink, and every now and again, you take a half a banana or half a Mars bar and then get going again immediately. Mm-hmm. These will be just taking pinpricks as well, and just analysing the blood and the glycogen, other sort of levels in the blood, and monitoring the internal temperature of the body as well, just to see how I cope with a long swim. Because some of the long swims that I've done now, the long channel swims have both been about 12 and a half hours each.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm
so
not being.
You do deteriorate over the 12 and a half
okay,
hours.
Okay, I'm not being insensitive, I know, because everything about you is up on the website, but to remind people of what all the things you've done. And maybe you haven't heard you talking to me before over the past 2 years. How old are you, Fergal?
I'm only a youngster, Noel. I am 50.
50, there you are. You're only a kid.
Now, only a chiseler. Halfway through, I think.
Now, but you were late taking up the swimming. Just remind me about that again. You were.
Oh, it's only about 8 years ago I took to the sea swimming as a sport. And went out to Malahide one Sunday morning and met Joe Martin and Don Barty out there, two young fellas now that swim out there, still swimming out there, and joined in with them, and I've been swimming out there every Sunday ever since, and we do lots even during the weeks now once the weather is starting to get good. And it's just something that we love. We meet there every Sunday, High Rock, 12 o'clock, and anybody be welcome to come along. You know, just have to be able to be a little bit confident about swimming, but we have people who swim 10 and 50 yards from the ladder and back, and then we have the likes of myself who go off for an hour and back, you know, and maybe get in again for another hour.
When you had this light bulb moment of, okay, I could do this for charity and do more and more and more, did anyone at one stage say, now hold on a minute, do you realise you're 42 now and it might be a bit too much for you? Because a lot of sports people swimming, no matter what it is, start off at maybe 8 or 10, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, I mean, we would have a range of swimmers that we swim with. There's people out in Malahide with us, like Tom Healy and Rachel Lee, who would call career swimmers, and they're just fantastic swimmers and ever so elegant and economical and efficient in the water. And then there's the likes of myself and others who are mullockers and come to it late in life and the likes, you know. But still, you know, there's a lot of people, the likes of myself, that have taken up late in life and have gone on to swim channels, you know. And I was telling you about a friend of mine who's done the boat for me before, John Daly. John learned how to swim at 39, and at 48 he swam the English Channel.
Wow.
So age doesn't seem to be a barrier in this at all.
No, I mean,
actually, only a young for this game now.
Yeah,
you know?
Actually, as you were talking there, I was thinking back to my youth when I used to go down to the Half Moon and over by the lighthouse. And all the time there, there used to be a lot of, mostly, I mean, it was only for men only, but mostly they were elderly men. But the minute they got in the water, they were young again, if you know what I mean. Maybe get a bit breathless.
But they
were so agile and fluent in the water.
That's what I say, like Joe and Don, would you believe they're actually out in Low Rock at the moment? They're not even in their cars listening to the radio and the show, but they're also out there
celebrating young
Circa Miller's birthdays today. And now there is a beautiful swimmer and the likes, you know, and a girl who will be fantastic. You'll hear her name in years to come. Mm-hmm. And there's also another young fella out there called Mark Lynch, and he's going to be swimming the English Channel for Eastern Bay this September. And myself and John Daly are lucky enough, we've been asked to go over and do the boat for him, so we're really looking forward to that as well, you know. So there's sort of a bit of continuity going there now.
Okay, so people want to, it is, after all, let's not forget that it is a fundraiser, and it's on tomorrow, am I right there, the first one, and then there's one September.
The Aaron Swim is on tomorrow. I have up on my blog spot, the first page in the blog spot, which is in under my name, Fergal Somerville, and you'll find an Aura and an Alloy flag there. If you click on that, you will get onto a little bit of information about the swim. You'll get a link to the tracker, which will record the swim as it's happening over the course of tomorrow afternoon. And there'll also be a link to my Facebook page, which is public, and that'll be updated as well during the swim. And if you're so inclined, and I'd be absolutely delighted if you could throw just a small few quid into the pot, and the Yarn Alloy would be delighted with you too, because everything that goes into the pot will go straight onto the Yarn Alloy.
Okay, thanks very much, Fergus. And I'm going to... Fergus,
sorry.
Listen, Fergus, stay there for a sec. I know your wife's a fan of Elvis, am I right?
She is indeed. So is Robbie Clark, but go on anyway.
Okay, well, listen, then I'll tell you, if you want to get the good books with your wife, Elvis has a new selection out now, and that's the way it is, and it's updated with behind the scenes footage. If you want to buy her that for Christmas, why not? But I'm going to play a song now. She mightn't be too happy with me because I played an Elvis song earlier on, so a little more one that brought him in through an ad, believe it or not, with JXL. And this is going to, especially, what's your wife's name again?
It's Margaret.
Margaret, this is especially for you. Listen, good luck, Fergal, and I hope to be talking to you again, okay?
Cheers, bye.
Thanks a lot, bye.